The Parable of the Ten Virgins by Thomas Shepard. That the precious souls and hearts of all the faithful are vessels made chiefly and only to receive and preserve the Spirit and grace of Christ, or the gracious presence of the Spirit of Christ, that, as it is with the souls of the wicked, they are made only to hold Satan, sin, and wrath, and so fitted for destruction, so the souls of the saints are made and fitted only to receive and nourish the Spirit, grace, and love of Christ. 2 Timothy 2:20-21. The church is God's house. Now there are many vessels, many souls, some baser, of wood and earth, some of honor. What are these? Answer. If a man purge himself from these things, for no man is born with a next disposition to receive grace as a vessel full of puddle water that must be first cast out. Now when this is done, he is a vessel meet for his master's use, prepared. The best vessels abide in the house, not for their own or servants' use, but for the master's use only. And though the Spirit may withdraw for some time, and they be unable to do any good work, yet they are prepared for the Spirit, and so for every good work. And here is all the use of the vessel of honor. Hypocrites are vessels of pomp and state and ornament. Oh, the brave church of Sardis, the profound judgments, deep heads, eminent Christians, but not vessels of honor, because not vessels of use, only for their master, only to receive the eternal anointings of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. If you would know the certainty of this more fully, 1, go and ask themselves, is it not so? If they be of age and know themselves, they will say, I am the Lord's only. Isaiah 44:4-5. When they spring up as willows by the watercourses, one shall say, I am the Lord's. As an imminent light said when dying, O Lord, I will be yours. But ask the world whose they are and to what use and purpose they serve, they will say of Christians, they are none of ours. And therefore, John 15:19, the world hates them. Ask the Lord himself, he will profess, though many wants and weaknesses in them, nay, so times they are weary and neglect him, fall and soil themselves, yet Isaiah 43:21, this people have I formed for myself, vessels formed and fitted of God only for his glory. Reason 1, because all the creatures in the world are theirs and servants to them, and therefore they are for the Lord only. 1 Corinthians 3:21-23. If the more we take care for and set our hearts upon the creature, if the more we were conversant with it, the more we should have and the better we should live, or if they should not serve us, unless we did first bow down our knees to worship them and our backs to bear them, then seeing the world lives by catching, we might then disrobe and dethrone our souls and care more for these things and less for the Lord, love these things more and the Lord less. But the Lord Jesus, having taken all care for his people, and bearing more love to them, and having more care of them than themselves, and therefore having given all creatures in heaven, sea, and dry land to serve them, they ought to be and are only for him. Hosea 2:21-23. When a man is the seed of God and born for him, now all creatures serve him. Hence 1 Timothy 6:17-18, the parable of the 10 virgins, showing that the Holy Spirit is in believers as the principle of their spiritual life and holiness. Within these vessels is an inward principle of life and grace. The burning, shining profession of all the faithful proceeds from an inward principle of the Spirit of grace, by the means of which their lamps burn and their profession shines. For this I understand by oil in the vessel, the Spirit of Jesus, not out of us, but received in us, not coming only upon us, for so he may sow on foolish virgins, by Balaamitish ravishments and hypocritical pangs and land flood affections, but abiding in us, and that not as it does in hypocrites, but as in Christ Jesus, without measure, both spirit in graces, so it abides in us in measure, in Him as the fountain, in us as the vessels, from whose fullness we receive the same. So that by oil is not meant the external principle of all life, the Lord Jesus having spirit and grace enough, but keeping our hearts empty of it. But the Lord Jesus in us, who is not in us by His Spirit, even the Spirit of life, from whence all our actions spring, and from which oil our lamp burns. This, therefore, I say, the profession of the faithful springs not from outward motives or principles of motion, as the actions of hypocrites, sometimes sudden praise, sometimes gain, sometimes fears, sometimes fleshly hopes, sometimes sudden conceit and fancy, sometimes eruptions and rushings of the Spirit upon them, but there is a spring within, there is a life within, there is oil in the vessel to fuel the lamp, and so hence it burns. Ephesians 2:1, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You are held as fast under the power of your sins as a dead man is under the bonds of death. But now, in the room of that death, there is the Spirit of life and the life of the Spirit. Now, life is an inward principle of motion in anything in its own place, as the sun and trees and grass and cattle, 1 John 3:9. This is called the seed remaining in Him, which is that new creation, new birth, which the verse itself expounds so that He cannot sin. It is against His nature. Now, He cannot be a sin maker. Balaam cannot curse the people of God, and many cannot do as others do. Why? Is it because they are born of God? No, but from some other respects. And hence, Matthew 13:21, the stony ground hearer fell away, because they had no root within. This is called the inner man, the good treasure of the heart, opposite to the evil treasures of the heart of a wicked man. Now, as an evil man acts not only from Satan, the evil spirit, but the inward power of lust. And here I intend not to show what this inward principle is particularly, for that I reserve to the two last points, yet, lest any should stumble, let me speak to two sorts. Number one, know some of you that there are not only external actings of the Spirit from whence we act, but a new nature in the saints. Number two, let others know that as before the Lord calls we are dead, so after we are alive this inward principle is not perfect here. Hence actions sometimes cease when they do not yet are corrupted, but never err in their act, hence have need of pardon from and acceptance in the Lord Jesus. That this is not in us as in Adam, who did not need to borrow life of another, but it stands in daily need of the Lord Jesus, and hence this inward principle acts, but it is by faith the operations of which the wagons to victual the camp continually, especially in time of need, and which is part of this inward principle. And hence 1 Peter 1:5, you are kept by power and faith, i.e., your souls, graces, lives are kept by the Spirit, but through faith in us, to salvation. Let me therefore prove these three things to you for opening of this point. First, that the Spirit of Jesus is in the souls of the faithful, 1 John 2:27. The anointing teacheth you all things, Romans 8:11. The Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in us. Secondly, that the Spirit so is in the faithful is that there is a principle of created graces in them, or an inward principle of life in grace. Not that these alone make this inward principle, but the Spirit in us working of them, working by them. And truly it is a sad thing if the proving of such a principle shall be an attributing too much to grace in us. 1. Therefore, to deny this is to deny Christ to be our sanctification. For beside the passive obedience of Christ, we are justified by his active obedience also. In other words, his inward conformity to the law and his external obedience to the law. So the graces as they are in Christ become our justification, and hence he is said to be our righteousness. No man can stand before God but by perfect holiness, but by doing whatever the law requires, and continuing so to do. This is not in us. This is in Christ. This, as it is in Christ, is properly our righteousness or justification. Now, what is our sanctification? If not graces in Christ, then graces received from Christ, which is this inward principle I now speak of, and therefore to deny this is no less than to deny Jesus Christ is our sanctification. But Paul says, "The Lord sanctify you in soul, in body, in spirit," 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And if it were not so, a man may have a heart unsanctified in Christ too. Number 2, if there should not be those graces, then a Christian was not bound to add one grace to another, but then the apostle's precept should be broken, 2 Peter 1:7-8. And so a Christian could not grow in grace, for graces are perfect in Christ. And the Spirit does not grow in grace, and the immediate operations of the Spirit increasing in us are not properly graces, no more than the act of seeing is the eye, no more than giving goods to be burned is love. Thirdly, that by the inward principle of Spirit and graces, our lamp burns and shines, our actions issue. The Spirit enables a man to know, and hence the act flows. He does know the Lord. The Spirit enables inwardly for to love the Lord, and hence it does love Him. That, as Christ says, a good tree brings forth good fruit, from an inward sap received from the root, and by abiding on the root, so here. Number 1. Those that are renewed to Adam's image in their measure have, according to that measure, power to act. Or in those graces there is power to act, for he had power so to do. Every creature in the world had a law of nature to carry them to their end, and so were carried to it. But Adam had a law of divinity, whereby he, being a cause by counsel, was enabled by God to carry himself toward his end. Now we are renewed to that image in part, Ephesians 4:24. I know there is difference between Adam's power to act, which had no faith, and ours that has. And do not think that this does advance nature in the power of man no more than the execution of the promise of the covenant of grace does destroy grace and advance nature. For the writing again the law in our hearts is that which this covenant promises. Nay, this does honor the riches of grace, that a man being under the power of sin and cannot get deliverance, the Lord should now give a humble, conquering spirit, never a precious heart, but will be thankful for it. Number 2. Because the graces in us are received from the Lord Jesus, his fullness, John 1:16. Now the graces in Christ are not dead, but living, are not weak, but powerful. The Spirit of grace is now triumphing in Him. It is so in us only. It is in Him in the highest degree, in us in a lower, and therein consists our likeness to Christ, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And to deny this is to deface the image of the Lord Jesus. Without Christ, a Christian can do nothing. But how does Christ do all by the Spirit without graces? I speak not of conversion where it is without graces as causes. No, truly, as he acts, so we act in part. Unless any will say we have not received grace for grace, or are in no measure like the image of Christ. Number 3. If the first Adam has conveyed to all his members a power of corruption, then the second Adam also a power of godliness contrary to that, 2 Timothy 3:5. Yet in measure still, so as the apostle says, we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth, 2 Corinthians 13:8. Application 1. See hence what cause of thankfulness to all the people of God that the Lord should make their souls the vessels, which ye might easily and justly have dashed in pieces, to receive and preserve this eternal anointing. I do believe there is no man that knows the bitterness of sin, the plague of his own heart, but when he sees Christ as his, yet it makes him mourn that there should be so little suitableness between the Lord and him, so little likeness between his life and Christ. What? Though the Lord loved me, and yet my heart be weary of him? What? Though the Lord bless me, and my heart abuse him? And hence this makes it thankful, Romans 7:24-25. This is so far from dishonoring grace, is that the apostle makes this a manner of admiration of God's grace, Ephesians 2:3-4. God, who is rich in mercy, when we were dead in sins, has quickened us, not only quickened our head, for hence his cause of eternal praise, but us. And hence he has us set up in heavenly places in him. This is the state of all men. They cannot do one spiritual act. Now that the Lord should help us when all creatures have left us is wonderful, but that it should be with such a life, even the life of Christ Jesus himself. For the same Spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in us, 1 Peter 5:1. This is mercy indeed, that he should not only die for us and live in heaven for us, but that he should love so dearly as to come and live in us, that, when our sins had slain him, he should not only come and dwell in our houses, not only lay his head in our bosom, but live in our hearts, where he finds such poor welcome and ill entertainment at our hands. I tell you, this is wonderful, to make his habitation in us, that before we go to live with him, he should live in us. Let them that never knew what this meant refuse to be thankful, but if you find it is so, forget not his love. John 14:17. I will send the Spirit whom the world cannot receive, because it knows him not. The Lord sends the Spirit in common graces, and the world does receive that, also in prophetical and miraculous gifts. But this Spirit which God pours on the thirsty, this Spirit with which God fills the empty, they cannot receive this. Oh, that you should have it, when as they know it not. Application 2. Hence, see the reason of that inward hypocrisy that is in men's hearts, so that the best profession of many a man is but a scheme, an image, a very craft, a very artificial form. All the duties are fair without, but sapless, lifeless within. Here is a reason. They have no inward principle of life, or if they do go to Christ, they have no such principle within them to carry them to him, so as to receive life from him, and hence confess sin without sorrow or shame, petition without thirsting, life without love, doing without life, because there is no spring but a dry heart within, and hence they must do duty, but they must make dead work of it, and hence all is but an appearance, and at best but a would-be. This is in a great measure in saints, when the spirit within is quenched, but it is in full age and strength in hypocritical hearts, Jeremiah 4:14, when the profession of Judah was great, and the prophets had scarce anything to say against them for outside. O Jerusalem, wash thy heart from wickedness. There your woe lies, it enters to the very heart. So Christ says, how can he that is evil bring forth good fruit? And this is that which may make men mourn. If I forsake all profession, I may shame myself before men. If not, I must blaspheme the Lord's name and play the hypocrite before the Lord. Matthew 12:33-35. Application number 3, to take heed of denying the grace of God, or this inward principle, in whole or in part, for this inward principle being the life of Christ in us. To deny this is to deny Christ, and to take away his life, and such the Lord will deny before his angels another day. When they shall say, Have we not eaten and drank in thy presence? He shall answer, I never knew you. I shall therefore direct my speech to four sorts. First, to those that deny created graces and the saints peculiar to them only. It is said there are none such in the country. If there are not, it may be there have been, or it may be there will be, and therefore I will speak. For I believe it is a delusion digged and hatched out of the steam of the lowest sink of hell. And therefore, that all may take heed of the evil of it, I will first show the evil of it, then the causes that do beget it. Number 1. The evils of this delusion are these. A. It settles and fastens a man under the power of all his sin, and yet with a quiet conscience, and yet to keep his Christ too. It transcends my capacity from whatever I have read, or have heard, or have felt, or can imagine, how the power of sin can be taken away. But where the Spirit infuseth the contrary grace, an empty house swept and garnished with common gifts is but a fitting house for Satan to return into. Say, therefore, a man may have no such graces, and yet have Christ, and them in Christ, you stake this man down under his sin, and make this member of Satan a member of Christ Jesus. And upon this ground, all churches in the land may be forced in conscience to take it, all profane members, if they plead Christ, and their allness in him. B. This blurs all the glory of a Christian, or at least the greatest part of it. For what is the glory of a saint? It is to be like Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, to bear his image before God and men. As to see a man with a swine face would be the shame of a man. To see a Christian with Satan's image is the shame of a Christian. But to be like our head, this is our glory, though it be in sufferings, 2 Corinthians 3:18, heavenly, humble, compassionate, holy, as he was. And hence, when God has a mind to make churches or Christians base in the eyes of the world, he will withdraw here. And when he intends to draw the world after him, he will glorify it with his glory. Isaiah 60 verses 6 and 7. See, it cuts off a Christian from all hope of glory. How many be there that scramble and catch it, Christ? And everyone says, He is mine. The proud man says, He is mine, and hopes now verily to be saved. But that hope is in vain. They have Christ out of them, but where is Christ in them? The life of Christ and the Spirit of Christ. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Number 2, the causes. A. Of magnifying Christ and making him our sanctification, when, as you heard the last day, this is to deny him to be our sanctification. He becomes our righteousness by imputation of his holiness, and our sanctification by infusing of it. Nay, hence a man deprives himself of all good in the Lord Jesus, when a man denies all grace in himself, and then flies for sanctuary unto Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:6 and 7. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And hence it seems they denied men to have sin, verse 8, boasting of fellowship with Christ, verse 6. B. Because there are, say men, only immediate actings of the Spirit. If this be so, then there is seeing in a Christ without an eye, and hearing without an ear, and knowing Christ without an understanding, and loving without love, and living without life, and feeding and eating without a mouth. And then, when these actings are over, a Christian is like another man. There is no law remains written on his heart, and so Christ should enter into his saints, like Satan into the serpent, who only acts the serpent, and when that is done, he remains a serpent again. Know it. The Lord Jesus, his greatest work is not only to change the acts, but to change the heart. Not only to put new actions in, but a new nature into men. See? Because men know not the Spirit, never felt the presence, nor power, nor comfort of him themselves. And hence men do as some countries, because themselves are black. They paint the devil white. John 14:17. The world cannot receive him, because it knows him not. Give me any Christian living that ever found the sweetness of it, but his longings were to have more of that grace, to forget things behind and reach to things before, even to the resurrection of the dead, whom I believe, none will say, lack all habits of grace. I look upon the opinion as coming with a curse from God. Secondly, those that do acknowledge them, but any power or activity in them they deny. They say, there is oil indeed in the vessel, but it doesn't help. It is no means to make the lamp to burn or shine. There is the life of Christ, but it is a dead life. They call them the graces of Christ, but they are but fruitless graces. I confess it, if you consider them without the Spirit of Christ, they are not true graces, much less active or living ones. But consider them thus. They have a power, as take the least grain of corn, there is a growing power in it, and a fructifying too in it, by dying first, though it does actually not fructify presently, and though there must be rain and sun must shine also, and a providence accompanying of it, so it is in the graces of saints. And hence it is called a law of the mind. There is a power of a law, as a sin, and hence as Christ grew in wisdom and stature, so all the members of Christ are like unto him. Number one, the evil of this. A. This abates of the excellency of grace, as from a jewel to take away the operative virtue of it. For it is not like Christ now, which is strong through God, not weak, which is living, not dead. This is not like the glorious graces of saints triumphing. This makes the graces of saints of less excellency than common graces. Common grace will make a man ride over many a sin and run exceeding fast, though he fall at last. A man that has been angry, it will make him very quiet and still. And is there no more power in this? B. This will make a man content himself with a bare form, with a false confidence, if this be true. For take a man that has been long seeking to get strength against a vile heart, and he finds none. There is no power of heavenliness, he is earthy. No meekness, he is proud. I would say to him, do you ever think to get any power of meekness, love, faith, and so on? You shall never do it. Never have it here. All your strength is immediately from Christ. Look for it there. In conscience, a man must cease there. And it is certain all our strength is in and from the Lord, but it is dispensed immediately. Ephesians 3:16. Paul prays he may be strengthened with might in the inner man, or thus a man may not pray for strength of grace, which Paul refused not. See, then the saints, if they be asked whether they believe or can love the Lord Jesus, their answer must be, no, I have no power to love nor believe. And then Peter did ill to answer so, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Then Paul to say, we can do nothing but for the truth. Number two, causes of this. A. In opposing the outward principle of life, or first principle. And this second, I must live on Christ. Hence I must not, I have no power to act myself in any measure, because all my strength is in him. Whence, if the other were true, a man might argue, because all grace is originally in Christ, hence no grace in me, because all glory is in Christ originally, hence no glory shall be conveyed to me. No, the Scripture reconciles these, because I live, therefore you shall live also. John 14:19. Because Christ is strong, hence he will make us strong in the inner man, and not in the spirit only. Because Christ is glorious, hence we are predestinated to be made like unto him. Because all sap lies in the root, to say therefore there is no sap or power in the branch to fructify, this is false. B. The hypocritical activity of false professors, who having no spring to feed their wells, no Christ, no bucket to draw from him, hence are their own men, and set up for themselves, till they turn bankrupt. C. Sloth. A man sets upon a duty, and now because he cannot do it easily nor quickly, he cannot do it at all. A man would have grace active without means, and God will not help in that way, and hence many Christians cannot cleave to Christ by love or desire, no, so long as they pour upon their lacks no encouragement, but turn the mind and consider well of the love and glory of Christ. Then with Paul they will say, 2 Corinthians 5:14, Christ's love constraineth me. D. Judging that to be the power of grace at all times, which is at some times, a man has given special occasion for the Lord to leave him, is a camp in Joshua's time, Joshua 7, and he thinks there is no more power at any time in any man. For then a man sees all the world cannot help, when if Achan were removed, the Spirit of the Lord would return again. E. That hereby a man may have his sins without trouble, for a man has been troubled and cannot get power. Now he hears there is no such power to be expected. He looks to Christ, and if power come, well. If not, says he, it is not my fault. Thirdly, those that deny the evidence of it, the evil of which apprehension I conceive to be no less than taking away that which is the chief, if not only difference between the hypocrites and saints and virgin churches, for so it is made here. A man says, I have Christ, and so have they not the evidence of it. I ask, where is the spirit? You have the deed. Where is the seal? You have the testator. Where is the executor? The spirit in you. Yes, I have it. It has witnessed Christ as mine. Answer. It is witness, but what has it wrought? Where is the power of his death, killing your lusts? Where is the life of the Spirit of Jesus in you? Where is the oil in your vessel? Truly, I look for the bridegroom, but I regard not that. Neither are others to regard it in way of evidence. Then I say, the chief evidence is destroyed in the churches. I have known many that had assurances, yet never saw them prove right till it witnessed this was here. What would be the cause of this, and that men should make blusters in the churches because of this, is though it was building on works. In many men they are several, 1, an aptness in men's hearts to outrun the truth, and to fall from one extreme to another. Many men there be that fall short of Christ and the grace of God in and from him, and from their loose profane life, fall to duties, and imitate God's people, and then, when they have got credit with good people, they judge well of them. And having made peace hereby with conscience, and not with God, the judge, never look after the saving knowledge of, and fellowship with, and life from the Lord Jesus. Now because men rest on this, these duties are no evidence, hence none are at all. 2, the apostasy of eminent professors who have been deceived in their evidencing thus. And truly it would make one think the honesty of the world is but a fashion, and no evidence of any good estate. Hence men say, you have joy, so had the stony ground here. You are blameless and strict, so was Paul a Pharisee, and Satan hereby shakes many a soul. 3, corrupt experience. It may be a man walks so loosely without fear or life or love that the Lord leaves him, and he can see no clear thorough work, sometimes has pangs and then hopes, sometime dead, then doubts. Hence being vexed here and finding no peace, if he find it any other way than this, there he rest. 4, a heart that never felt the bitterness and bondage of sin as the greatest evil. Take a man full of fears of wrath. Oh, now assurance is his chiefest good, and he will account it so. But if ever God did load the soul with sin, you will account of deliverance from this highly. Nay, a promise he will do. It is sweet. But to be feeling those sinews of sin crack, oh, it is the joy of heaven that now fills that heart. The greatest evil in God's eyes is sin. The greatest good we have in redemption from it by a mighty hand. It is said, Esau hated Jacob for the blessing, Genesis 27:41. The spirit of grace is the blessing which saints account as the evidence of the dearest love. To separate from churches, from messengers of God, for this will yield you sorrow enough one day. I tell you, you shall not be found fighters against men, but against God, and the Spirit of His grace, and the life of Him who lives in heaven for us. Take heed you forget not oil in your vessels. Fourthly, those that acknowledge in their judgments all these things, but deny it in their lives, regard not the having this principle of life, and have peace in this, from a double ground. Number one, by a fruitless faith, which hangs on Christ, but never receives nor brings in this principle, is those in John 2, 24 and 25. And hence, though they receive none, yet they hang on Him. And so their faith, like a bucket without a bottom, draws up nothing. Number two, a form of godliness before men. If a man should neither speak well, nor pray, and so on, he would have no love, no respect, no receiving into church. But he cannot do it with life, and hence a form contents him, and there he rests. Look upon your dead soul, all the glory is gone, and wait upon the word, that the Lord may make you live. Could you know this well of water and ask, He would give it you? Oh, beg for it then, as for your life. Only seek it in Christ, and so from Christ. Application 4 of Trial. We live in a country which has goodly trappings, rich hangings, glorious profession, burning lamps, and hence many think themselves rich, when indeed they are poor. Many look to meet the bridegroom when, indeed, they shall be shut out from the fellowship of the bridegroom. Well, how shall I know that all my sorrows, prayers, reformation, profession, is but a paint, an appearance, a fashion, a church craft, which will stand me in no stead when the Lord shall appear, who shall judge the secrets of all hearts by the word you hear this day? Try it, therefore, by this rule. Does it come from a principle of life or not? Your lamp burns, but look what is in your vessel that feeds this flame. Consider, therefore, whether there is this principle or not. You see, there is profession. You have a name to live in the judgment of all the church. But search your hearts and see from what principle it proceeds. For if this be lacking, all is nothing. As he that had beer given him, when milk and wine and sugar were put into it, to mend it, said, The wine is good, and the milk is good, but the beer is bad. So profession, affection, is good, but the heart, the man is bad, Jeremiah 2:22. Though thou wash thee with nitre, thy sin is marked before the Lord. And that the trial may be full and fair, I shall show negatively the several sorts of men that act not from an inward principle, yet carry it out as though the bitterness of death was past, and the bridegroom theirs. Number one, when a man's principle is nothing but the power of created nature expressing itself, and setting the best face forward in the gilded rottenness of some moral performances, wherein a man says he does what he can. For there is this principle in most of men, a desire to be saved. Nature says so. And according to the intention of this desire, so accordingly men will do more or less, and hereupon soothe up themselves, when they see they cannot do as others do, or as the Lord commands. I do as well as I can. Hence I heard an Armenian once say, If faith will not work it, then set reason a work. And we know how men have been kings and lords over their own passions by improving reason, and from some experience of the power of nature men have come to write large volumes in defense of it. And it is known the Armenians, though they ascribe somewhat to grace, and in words all to grace, yet indeed they lay the main stress of the work upon a man's own will, and the royalty and sovereignty of that liberty. You say you do as much as you can? I say do so, but it is impossible for man from any strength of man. And you have no more yet, John 1:13, born again not of the will of man, but of God. There is in some men a birth, like to the new birth, which is of the will and power of man. But oh, this is not this inward principle which the almighty power of God creates, and therefore know it. If you get no other oil in your lamps, you shall never meet the bridegroom. Number two, when a man's principle is a power of holy example, whereby many a one is drawn to do more than otherwise he would. Many men think for a while, as that man spake, men talk of being worth thousands. I would fain see the men. Ministers preach and others speak well. We must do this and that. But I would fain see the men that do it. Now it sometimes falls out that the Lord sets before men's eyes some pattern Christians. Hereupon they think thus. Here are two contrary ways. They cannot both lead to heaven. Their way is better than mine, and doubtless leads to life. Mine does not. Therefore let me live like them. Thus it was with these five foolish virgins. A man may follow good examples, but not rest in bare imitation of them. And hence a blessed man is described, Psalm 1, negatively, from not imitating the wicked, not from imitating the good, because good men may be in many things ill examples. And it ever proves so in these men that have no more than this principle. Hence, if they be loose in their tongues or on the Sabbath, their plea is, they are like unto them. Oh, consider, here is an outward but no inward principle. Number 3. Those whose principle is nothing but external applause and praise of men. This will carry a man beyond all the best examples, nay, sometimes to be singular, and a man alone. A Pharisee's trumpet shall be heard to the town's end, while simplicity walks through the town unseen. Hence a man will sometimes covertly commend himself, and myself ever comes in, and tells you a long story of conversion, and 100 to 1 some lie or other slip not out with it. Why, the secret meaning is, I pray, admire me. Hence, complain of wants and weaknesses. Pray, think what a broken-hearted Christian I am. And hence, if comforted, they complain. If not, they will comfort themselves. Hence, many lift up eyes and hands and fetch deep sighs in prayer. Remember and note sermons. Look now what a gift I have. Hence, if you come to their company, they will have so many good words as you may think well of them, and then the market is almost done with them. Hence, men may forsake their friends, and trample underfoot the scorns of the world, but they have credit elsewhere. This is the water that turns a Pharisee's mill, and the Lord passes a heavy doom. You have your reward. I have wondered that the opinion of men, nay, dream of men's thoughts, should act men. Only it is a curse of God that, when men despise his honor, the greatest good, they shall be fed with the basest good. Number 4. Those whose principle is nothing else but their own gain of outward blessings. Many there be that make not their honor so much as their bellies their gods, and they rule them. Philippians 3:19. Hence, the shopkeeper will give good words when he sells his commodity. He should lose much of his custom elsewise, and hence the minister preaches conscionably that his gain may come in, 1 Thessalonians 2:4 and 5. Hence people would be as good as the best. They cannot get a lot in all the country elsewise. Hence a man is sometimes content to forsake all for Christ, that he may make a booty of Christ, as Judas did. Hence when Christ feeds them with loaves, then the people will make him a king, John 6. Though afterward they cry, crucify him. So men deal with Christ as the soldiers did that caught him, that they might strip him of his garments. And hence many men, if they see sorrows and wants attending them, if they attend of Christ, forsake him, look upon our own land. Many, so long as they could enjoy Christ with fair weather, cry out of ceremonies and profaning a Sabbath. Yet this not being to be had, creep to them, and read the book for profaning thereof. Many shadows have been seen since our sun has risen here, and this way they looked. But viewing other men's wants and fearing their own losses, and conceiving they may meet with Massa in this wilderness, refuse to follow. Unless this should seem to be the cause, cry out, we are separatists, or strongly possess themselves against all relation. There is no living at all here. Number 5. Those whose principle is nothing else but the strength of natural conscience, which will set men a-doing, when they have neither praise from men nor gain from Christ for their labor. For the Lord deals with some men as the Romans did with some of their prisoners. They would chain a prisoner and his keeper together, and let them go up and down. So God chains many a poor prisoner of hell and his conscience together, and lets them go together. And hence many a man keeps peace with his conscience, and cannot give it the slip for all the world heaped up with gold, as Balaam said. Now there are two things in a natural conscience, Romans 2:15. A, to accuse. Hence a man dares not omit prayer, dares not commit a sin he has a mind to. Conscience would then roar. Hence many keep constantly set duties in private, and tremble at small sins, not because they take delight in the one, or are weary of the other, but because they are ever under the eye of this judge. B, conscience excuses, and to give much sweetness when a man follows the dictates of it. Hence a man, though carnal, will die for his religion, and that with some cheerfulness, because conscience cheers within, and sings him asleep, in trouble. And hence a man will cry out of all the glorious hypocrisies of men, because to walk according to conscience is sweeter to him.
This Reformation audio track is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. SWRB makes thousands of classic Reformation resources available, free and for sale, in audio, video, and printed formats. Our many free resources, as well as our complete mail-order catalog, containing thousands of classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, tapes, and videos at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, that's EDMONTON, Alberta, abbreviated capital A, capital B, Canada, T6L3T5. You may also request a free printed catalog. And remember that John Calvin, in defending the Reformation's regulative principle of worship, or what is sometimes called the scriptural law of worship, commenting on the words of God, "which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart," from his commentary on Jeremiah 7:31, writes, "God here cuts off from men every occasion for making evasions, since he condemns by this one phrase, 'I have not commanded them,' whatever the Jews devised. There is then no other argument needed to condemn superstitions than that they are not commanded by God. For when men allow themselves to worship God according to their own fancies, and attend not to his commands, they pervert true religion. And if this principle was adopted by the papists, all those fictitious modes of worship in which they absurdly exercise themselves would fall to the ground. It is indeed a horrible thing for the papists to seek to discharge their duties towards God by performing their own superstitions. There is an immense number of them, as it is well known, and as it manifestly appears. Were they to admit this principle, that we cannot rightly worship God except by obeying his word, they would be delivered from their deep abyss of error. The prophet's words, then, are very important, when he says that God had commanded no such thing, and that it never came to his mind, as though he had said that men assume too much wisdom when they devise what he never required, nay, what he never knew."